In the precious name of Jesus, who is the light of the world, the light to our path, in Jesus' name, amen. Our text for tonight is a portion of the epistle lesson that Pastor read for us a moment ago as Paul was preaching, teaching the church in Corinth. I would invite you to turn to that text. It's a reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning with verse 18. We'll look at the first portion, about the first half of the text he read for us just a moment ago. May God bless my speaking and your hearing for Jesus' sake. Amen. Sermon title for tonight is, So What's the Purpose of the Church? Would be interesting in Lutheran circles, maybe in this group, if it were a Bible study, I'd love to start this way, just to say, turn to your neighbor and talk about what the purpose of the church is. What do you suppose the answer would be? Well, I would suppose that probably many of us would come up with similar sorts of answers, but I think there'd probably be a lot of variety also in what you might respond to what the purpose of the church is. You know, I think that's really been the case throughout the history of the Christian church, and probably even in Paul's day. Paul, you remember, was preaching and teaching. Paul was moving around much of the known world, celebrating and remembering the message of Christ. Some of us in the Bible class that I've been teaching this last quarter have been talking about the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul. Paul had been to Corinth and many other locations, and as he was there, he began churches. And then what the apostle did was to move on to the next place and the next and the next. And he would occasionally, like in tonight's reading, send a letter back to those churches to help them see where they should be going and what they should be doing and how should they celebrate their work. What is their work as a church? In every church, in every age, in every time, the church has run into problems of all sorts. I mentioned the Bible class that I was teaching this last quarter. Not only were we talking about the missionary journeys of Paul, but we were talking also about the problems in the early church. That Bible class dealt with the early days of the church as Paul was planting those churches, but also the next number of centuries. And what we learned in that study is that the church had problems from outside and problems also from within. The problems from the outside came for those who persecuted the work of the church. Especially in the Roman days, there were many who persecuted the church. You know something about that. Some of those early Christians torn apart by beasts. They were whipped and flogged till their bones protruded, and then salt water and vinegar poured over them to punish and to agonize these Christians. They died by fire, and in many other ways, there was persecution against the church with the attempt to stamp out its work and the message of the church. There were also problems from within, and you don't have to look very far in tonight's epistle reading. I would invite you to do that over the first 10 chapters or so of 1 Corinthians. Problems within the church, problems of immorality, problems about worship and how and what they were doing, sexual problems and troubles, many problems and divisions within the church, fighting and bickering about so many things, so easily distracted from the purpose of the church. So let's get back to it. So what is the purpose of the church? Well, I think Paul says it pretty clearly throughout our text. He says the purpose of the church is the message of the cross. If you have your Bibles open, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. And then again, in verse 21, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. And then in verse 23, but we preach Christ and him crucified. So from the Apostle Paul, what is the purpose of the church? The purpose of the church is to message Christ, to share the message of Christ, to share the message of the cross with all the world. Now, Paul knew, and he said in our text, that not everybody would understand that. It seems like foolishness to those who are not being saved. Foolishness. How can power, how can glory, how can goodness come out of this instrument of death, the cross? It seems foolish to many, but Paul said it's the power and the glory of God wrapped up in the person and the work of Jesus. Paul says in our text, now, as far as the Jews go, the Jews are looking for miraculous signs. And a great example of that comes in tonight's gospel reading from John chapter 2. Pastor read that for us a moment ago, how Jesus had gone into the temple in Jerusalem and how he had seen his Father's house disrupted. Instead of it being a place of contemplation and prayer and meditation and worship, it was like a marketplace. And Jesus made this whip, and with it he whipped and whipped and whipped until the cattle and the sheep were driven out, and the money changers' tables were thrown over, money scattered everywhere, and those who were selling doves, get out of here, Jesus said. And what did the Bible say? John records their statement as this: what sign do you show us that you have the authority to do this? Isn't that what Paul's saying in 1 Corinthians? The Jews seek signs. But he said beyond that, there are others outside the pale of faith. Those are the Greeks, the Gentiles. And what they're looking for, our text says, is they're looking for the wise man, for the scholar, for the philosopher. They're looking for philosophies and teachings that are heady and above and to which one can aspire. That's what they think is the most important. But that's not what Paul says. What Paul says is that it's all about the cross. It's all about Jesus. It's all about his agonizing death for the forgiveness of sins of the whole world, yours and mine and others. It seems like foolishness to so many, but to those who are being saved, those who believe, it is the power of God. It is the most important thing. That's what it's all about. That's the purpose of the church. Perhaps you've heard the illustration before that in the northeastern portion of our country, there was for a long time along the shoreline a history of many deaths because of the ragged coastline, because of the storms, because there were so little, at least at one time, with lighthouses warning ships. There were many tragic deaths that took place. Because that took place, there were groups of people along the shoreline who decided they had to do something when they saw people perishing. So they began to watch for when a ship went down. And then what they would do, in spite of the difficulties for themselves and the possible danger and loss of their own lives, they would launch out into those seas to be able to rescue anyone they could find. Well, as time went along in one place in particular, they decided if they were going to do that and be watchful, you know what they should do is probably build some kind of a boathouse where they could store their equipment. And so they did, and from that boathouse, they watched. As time went along, they saved lives and more, and other people recognized what they were doing and gave them money so that they would be better equipped and better able to save. And so they built better and bigger boathouses, and they thought, you know, since we have to wait here, let's make it more comfortable for ourselves, warmer, and a place where we can actually have food and all of that. And as time went along, those boathouses became country clubs. And they didn't really want to bring dirty and wet people into their nice boathouses, their places. And they got so busy watching themselves and caring for themselves that they forgot what their mission was. And those places that had been places to save those who were drowning became country clubs concerned for themselves. You know, that's the way it often is with the church. When churches begin, most mission churches have a great emphasis on those who are out there, those who are lost, those who are drowning, those who are perishing, and those churches exist and they begin to grow because they care about the lost. What's the purpose of the church? It's the message of the cross. And in a world filled with sin, people drowning in sin and death and the power of the devil, the message of the cross and the message of the church is to leave our own comforts and to go out and save those who are perishing. But so often, in so many cases, it becomes so easy for the church to forget its first love and its purpose. That was the problem in Paul's day, and that's why he wrote to the Corinthians that first letter. You're getting messed up. You're forgetting your purpose. You forget why I was there and why your church was planted. And so often, that can be the case for us too. How about the church today? Well, so often in the church today, there's so much bickering about fine details of doctrine and teaching. Doctrine and teaching, the Word of God, Scripture, of course, is important. Of course, we need to know what it says and to be sure of it. But sometimes we get caught up in minutiae, arguing about what's important and how important it is. And when the church does that, it forgets its first purpose. So often in the church today, in many churches, there's a matter of social justice, caring for equality and freedom and all the rest. And those are important things, but they're not the main thing. It's not about doctrine in itself. It's not about social justice in itself. So many churches do good things when it comes to, I don't know if you can see it, the homeless and the hungry. There are less fortunate in our community. And week after week, we remind you that we work together to go out into our neighborhood to care for those who are in need. But you see, that's not the most important purpose of the church. The most important purpose of the church is to be a lifeboat. You see, you and I, at one time, we were drowning too in our own sin and death and the power of the devil. But we were rescued as we were baptized, as we were brought to saving faith, as someone witnessed to us, as our parents brought us up in the Christian faith. Whatever way it was, you have been saved from death and drowning eternally. And now God calls us to be those lifeguards too. It's always about Jesus. It's always about the cross. That's what Paul said to the first century church, and that's what must be said in our century, at our time, in this place, here at Holy Cross and in Wichita. It's about Jesus. Because you see, there are many in our community, many maybe even in our families and workplaces and schools who are drowning once and twice and close to a third time under because they don't know Jesus. And without Jesus, they'll spend a lifeless eternity separated from God. They're drowning. And they need to know what you and I have come to know by the power of the gospel, by the work of Jesus, through the Word of God. We have come to know the power of God, the glory of God in Christ Jesus and in his sacrificial death for us and for all the world. The way God plans, the way God does things are far superior to ours. We think we are wise, but God is the wise one. In the Old Testament, in Isaiah 55, would you read this with me? God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." It seems so foolish, the message of the gospel, the message of the cross. My ways, God says, are not your ways, my thoughts not your thoughts, because my ways and my thoughts are higher than yours. The wisdom of God is Christ, his death and resurrection for you and for me, for the forgiveness of our sins. Because you see, and that's what Paul is saying from our text, God at his most foolish is wiser than man at man's wisest. And God at his very weakest, or what it appears to be, is stronger than man at his strongest. We try, we attempt, but we can't do it. Only God can. In his wisdom and strength and power, God gives us Christ so that we might be saved. Tonight, we welcome new members. The Schragers are with us. And tomorrow, as Pastor mentioned, we'll welcome others. God has given us the opportunity to reach out to our community and for others to come among us to build up this place so that what we do is proclaim Christ and him crucified. We have been saved. We have been found by the lifeboat, and now we become lifeguards ourselves, launching out to reach others still who need to be saved. So, what is the purpose of the church? What's it all about? It's Christ and him crucified. God bless us as we know it and live it and are a part of it. For Jesus' sake, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding and all wisdom, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Amen.